This episode of the God and Mental Health Podcast is brought to you by Happy Mammoth. So I have been talking to you all a lot in my podcast, as well as hearing on the ads that I've been really paying attention to a little TMI for a second, my cycle. I have also been talking to my clients so much who are women about the idea of cycle syncing, especially for my women between the ages of around 25 to 40, kind of when you're hitting that time frame where you're really starting to pay attention more to your body. And you know what I don't miss at all? The vicious week before my period. I am someone that when before the week before my period comes, I am just craving so many sweets and fried foods. And I'm just a little more tired. Sometimes I'm down and emotional. And now it's just easier for me to manage my PMS with estrogen control. And so I want to talk to you really quickly about this amazing product because it has significantly helped, especially as I've been paying a lot more attention to my mood swings. I've been tracking my mood throughout the month and just being a little bit more mindful on just how am I actually feeling. We as women, our hormones really, really do impact the way we feel. And so Happy Mammoth, they are a company that is science-backed, and they make products that are completely dedicated to ingredients that are proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it absolutely shows. I have loved using their products, and the biggest benefit is I just feel like myself again. And that's what women mention over and over in their reviews. In fact, there are over 17,000 reviews for their products. And so if you are interested in trying out these products, but also being able to manage some of those symptoms for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code THERAPY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code THERAPY for 15% off today. Now, let's get back to the show.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The Therapy is a Christian podcast is all things mental health and Christ. We specifically talk about how mental health and God are merged together to foster growth, healing, and making mental health a normal conversation. I'm your host, Rosin Renee, and welcome to the show. Hello and welcome. You are listening to the Therapy is a Christian podcast. I'm your host, Rosin Renee. Welcome to another episode of the show. And I am super excited about another interview, y'all. So I have been wanting to interview my sister. And I feel like she probably was like, girl, why? But what I gotta say? So since I have been prepping for maternity leave, I was like, I absolutely have to get her on here before I even go out. So y'all are in for a super good treat today. I am super excited. I'm going to be interviewing my friend Tarikia Nicole, and she is going to bless us, child, with all the realness. So I will let her introduce herself. So go ahead and say, hey, girl.
Hey, that was a like real good introduction. I felt like, okay, then that's me. Let's do this.
Okay, so let me get some backstory. So me and Tarikia actually used to work together right when I graduated from undergrad, and then randomly met up again when I started going to the same church she was going to. And I was like, I've seen this girl before. Where I've seen her before. And then we ended up becoming cool. And I was like, oh my God, I used to work with you, girl. And so, yes, so I can't wait for us to talk because what y'all don't know is Tariki is straight up from Memphis, like me.
Through and through.
So country combined with a little ghetto, combined with a little hood.
And just
real, real educated, but also will be like super, super nice to you. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, okay. So let's hop into it. What's your shirt say? I got a good heart, but this face. Oh my God. Yes, that shirt is literally you. Okay, y'all can't see the shirt, but literally this is her. So why don't you just want to introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about you and what you do.
So I am Tarikia Nicole. I like long walks on the beach. No, I'm kidding. I enjoy having a good time. I love to laugh. But I am a staff recruiter by day, a full-time mom 24/7. And I also launched a vegan meal service this year, Juneteenth, shout out. Mm-hmm. So I prepare vegan meals, and it looks like I'm transitioning into desserts. So I have some really good vegan cookies. So check me out. Don't Make Me Vegan, Instagram, Facebook. Holla at your girl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let me tell y'all. So one day I went to Tariki's house. You had just moved into your house. Girl, she fixed me this vegan chili. By the way, I don't know if that's my ministry. That's not my area, vegan. But baby, she made this chili and grilled cheese sandwich, and it was so good. I was like, this is amazing. And she loves cooking. Okay, so I want you to tell us, how did you get started with cooking, but especially with going vegan? Talk about that first, going vegan, because you've been vegan for a while.
Yes, I have been meat-free for 6 years. I started out vegetarian. I was vegetarian for 2 years, then found out my son has a dairy allergy. So we had to reluctantly let go of cheese. And that's probably the hardest thing that I've ever done in my life, though, because cheese, the way it melts, and it's just it.
It's so good.
But I couldn't keep eating it, so I had to be creative. I had to figure out how to continue to make those things that my child loved without dairy in them. And then, too, we're in the South. Very few people are vegan. So in order for me to eat, and I like to eat a lot.
You are a foodie. I have
to make my food.
You are a foodie. You are
absolutely a foodie. I like to eat. So that's kind of how it just started. It was, okay, I'm tired of eating fruit and vegetables. Ain't nobody got time to be eating salads. I don't want salads, Swiss turned upside down. I'm done with those. I need some good stuff. So got in the kitchen one day, and I actually started following the Good Vibrations book. And she was making a whole lot of stuff. And I was like, sis, wait a minute. Hold on, if she can do this and she can make this food look good, I can do this too. So I started playing around using some of the ingredients that she was using, trying some of the recipes that she had posted, and I was like, okay. So that was my start with the Good Vibrations book, following her Instagram, looking at her recipes, but she's alkaline, and I couldn't stick to alkaline. I went about that life.
Because alkaline is so strict.
Yeah, and being a mom and, you know, working and having to do soccer and t-ball at the time, there was no way, absolutely no way, that I was going to keep up with alkaline. So I just kind of transitioned from there, really, and started putting stuff together, started making some of the stuff that we ate previously making it vegan. And once I figured out how to make those vegan, then I just started playing around with other stuff.
Oh, okay. So with you completely going vegan and then starting this process and cooking, first of all, what changes did you see with going vegan?
So the changes actually started with me with vegetarian. So like most people think, I was like, oh, if I cut meat out of my diet, I'll lose weight. Your girl was picking up weight. And I was like, wait,
why?
Because I didn't know what I was doing. Okay. I lacked knowledge. So with me, with anything I do, it's literally cold turkey. So I was at some taco truck on somebody's corner eating chicken and steak tacos one day. And the next day I was like, I'm going to be vegetarian today.
Oh my God.
So
how?
Yeah, it was not the best decision that I made, but because I said I was going to do it, I stuck with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept gaining weight because it was like a whole bunch of starch and I was basically like junk food. Like junk food is my thing. It's always been my thing. So I was figuring out all the junk food stuff that I could eat, the Morningstar burgers and like all of that. So that was breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So of course, eating all that stuff, all this processed food still, I was gaining weight. So then I started doing research because I was like, wait, this was not the plan. Like, I tried to be vegetarian right. So I can lose weight. Why I'm gaining weight?
Exactly.
So literally, like, go through all of that, figure it out. And then I was like, oh, I've been doing this wrong the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed, like, I had some extra money. And I was like, how do I have extra money? So I started looking, and I had extra money because I wasn't spending as much money on medicines. So like a long time ago, my doctor told me that I should live in a bubble because I was allergic to everything. So I was like, okay, acute asthmatic, allergic to everything. So I had all the medicines, all the everything, allergy shots, you name it. So I had extra money because I wasn't spending money on any of that, wasn't going to, you know, paying for copays, anything like that. So that in itself was enough. Like whether I was losing weight or not, that was enough motivation for me to stick to it because I was like, I'm on to something. So stuck it out for that reason. And that was the biggest difference that I saw. But honestly, that's just really was it. I stuck with it because that was the biggest difference that I saw. Whenever I go to the doctor and get physicals and checkups and stuff, they tell me I'm in tip-top shape. Of course, they tell me I need to lose weight, but I'd be like, have you had my food? I don't know that I want to stop doing, because if I see it, I'm going to figure it out. Just like I just messed up this pound cake that's in the kitchen. Who makes a pound cake in the middle of a day on a Thursday? Me.
Well, you made a vegan pound cake?
Yeah, I messed it up though. So it's not ready yet, but I'm playing with it.
Child, so it's Thursday at 3 o'clock.
I know.
Okay, so yeah, so this is the kind of stuff Tariqi does. She like literally just starts doing stuff. And so I think that's what got her into doing meal prep. Okay, so talk about that. Talk about you getting into now you're cooking for other people.
So I used to post like some of the stuff that I would make. And people would be like, wait, that's vegan? And I'm like, yeah, they like, oh, okay. So then I would have friends like you that would come and be like, oh, let me taste it. Let me try that. So I had several friends saying the same thing. Can you just make my food for me? And I'm like,
so good, Jesus.
I don't know that I really want to do that. And then one day I had a friend that said, you know what you should do for your fundraiser? Cause I was fundraising to go to the Philippines last year. So I was fundraising to go to the Philippines last year. And my friend was like, you should meal prep as a fundraiser. And I was like, I don't know that people really want vegan meal prep. Like, kept saying, we're in the South. People love their hot wings and their catfish. Like, who trying to buy vegan food? So she was like, well, if it doesn't work, then you just try another fundraiser. And I was like, well, she got a point. So I was like, okay, let's do it. So started advertising it, started making stuff. And because it was in the name of a fundraiser, people were like, yeah, I support you. You know, no big deal. I support you. So I started making the food and everybody was like, oh, this is really good. Like, is this really vegan? And I was like, I mean, you know, last time I checked, I think it is, like, based on what I put in it, it is. So when I literally used it, that was the only fundraiser that I did. And I was able to raise all the money that I needed for my mission trip. And I sent out a text message and I was like, hey, you know, thank y'all for helping me fundraise. Like, I finally met my goal. And people started texting me back like, so that mean you're not going to make my food? Because I still need to eat. I was like, oh.
Why Black people like this?
I was like, oh, so you still, okay, well, let me make your food then. So I kept it up. And I kept getting momentum. More people were asking about it. More people were calling me, reaching out. I want to try this. I want to try that. I want to try this. I want to try that. One of my really good friends literally coached me through the entire process, like from beginning to end. I was like, girl, do you really think? She was like, uh-uh, girl, I got you. She was like, you should go and do it because your food is good. Like, it's bomb. So I would call her, bounce ideas off her, and she was like, yeah, just do it. Just do it. So she literally was my hype man. Like, after I got past the fundraising part, she was my hype man. She was like, yeah, just do it. So kept getting momentum. And I was like, oh, like, this is turning out a whole lot better than I thought. So I just made it official this year.
And what's it called?
Don't Make Me Vegan.
But clearly.
And a lot of people ask me about the name. So they're like, why is it called Don't Make Me Vegan? And honestly, the concept is really easy. Like, it's not my goal to make you vegan. If you don't want to be vegan, don't be vegan. But there are benefits in even substituting one meal a day and making it meat-free or animal-free. Like, you'll see the benefits just by doing that once a day. And my goal at the core of it is honestly... so that we, the Black community, knows, like, we don't have to be stuck on pork and beef and all this other stuff to still eat good. We can eat good and also put healthier versions of food in our body. So yes, don't make me vegan, because that's not my goal.
Yes, girl. And I'm telling y'all, if y'all live in Memphis, y'all need to take advantage of it, because it's good. Except when you made that potato, I was so sad I could eat it. Because that cheese had nuts in it. Oh, but girl, yeah. As soon as I tasted it, I was like, this is a fried potato, bro.
It had
cashew
cheese, because I make my own cheese sometimes.
Listen, okay? My God. Okay, so let's switch gears a little bit into talking about counseling. So you started counseling shortly after I did, I think.
Consistently.
Mm-hmm. Shortly after I did. And I did it in 2018. Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell us a little bit about that. What pushed you to go?
So my very first experience with therapy was in 2011. If anybody asks me, I tell them 2011 was probably the worst year that I've ever had. People talk about 2020. 2011
still tops it, because 2020 yeah. has been, girl.
No, 2011 still tops 2020. So that was my first experience with counseling. But for me, it was still that, I don't wrong me. Like, why I gotta go talk to somebody? Like, I'm good. And I battled with that for a really long time, because I was like, mm-mm, yeah, I don't need to go. So like, I would go for like quick fixes, like, oh, mm-hmm. well, let me just drop in and tell her what's on my mind and let her help me figure this out, and then I'm done. But then I started to realize, the more I matured, I started to realize it was really helping me. So I needed to be consistent, because life continues to happen, so I need to figure out how to navigate it instead of going in for quick fixes. So if I go in consistently, then I don't have to worry about my life, quote unquote, falling apart, and then I'm running trying to get somebody to help me overcome that. So in 2018, I started, and I was like, okay, so let's get this done. Let's get it consistent so it becomes a natural part of my routine and I can become a healthy me. Because the one thing, as a single mom, the one thing that I want is to make sure that I'm a healthy version of me for my child. Mm-hmm. Because if I don't deal with the skeletons in my closet, then I can't help him overcome it. And he sees what I'm dealing with or what I'm going through. And then he starts to act out in those ways. So the best thing that I could ever give my child is a healthy me. And that's my goal. Like, he is literally my why for sticking mm-hmm. it out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I need to do this consistently. Started out with one lady and she was awesome. She was literally amazing. She just was not for me at the stage that I was in. So thanks to you and all your tips on how to find a therapist and all the resources to look for, to look into the websites and stuff like that, I found another one. And I think you, the lady that I'm with now, I think you suggested her. You were my confirmation. So. Yes.
Yeah, because, okay, so y'all hear me talk about Miss Bob, my therapist. But Miss Bob and Tarika couldn't do counseling together because they cool.
That's my home girl.
And baby, listen, I remember you were like, but I can't see you, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't.
So we can't work around this.
Yes, and so I think when you found your new girl, I think it was based off suggestion, and you liked her. And I remember once you liked her, when Ms. Bob was full, I was like sending people to your person. Yeah. Yes, okay.
She's definitely amazing. And I remember that day, I had prayed about it, and you text me that morning, and I was like, okay, God, like, I hear you, like, you loud and clear. So I was scrolling through, like, when you text me, I was scrolling through a list of therapists. And then later on that day, you were like, okay, so I found something that I think will work for you. And it just so happened to be one of the ones that I was looking at. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, God, that's confirmation. Like, that's it. This is where I'm going with. And she's been amazing. I've been with her actually a year this month.
Has it been a year? Mm-hmm. Really? Wow. Okay. So switching to the new person. So that's also a thing, because I think sometimes people have bad experiences and then they stop, or they don't go, or they start to question why. So talk about, for you, like, what made you try again after kind of the first experience?
So like I mentioned before, once I set my mind to it, it's happening. And again, I have this desire for the life that I want to provide for my child, mentally, spiritually, physically, like all of that. So I had opened too many doors and rehashed or relived a lot of moments. And it was hard to go back as if those weren't just kind of floating around in my head.
Yeah, yeah.
So I needed to figure out how to deal with that. So I couldn't just stop. And I think I stopped for a second. I was like, you know what? I don't know if this is for me. Maybe therapy is not for me. And I feel like it was something you may have posted on your story. About sometimes you have to find what fits you or the therapist that fits you. So the first time you try, that may not be it. So right. You have to keep going.
Yes, sir.
And it's just like literally finding the therapist is just like finding the right fitting shoes, like the right size shoe. Like mm-hmm. The first one might not fit. You just might have to find another one that does. So it was just that for me, just saying, okay, I need this not only for me, but for future generations, because it can start with me and trickle down to my child and his children and their children. So let's start this with me. Yeah. That was kind of the motivation, just to keep going, to keep trying, because I knew I needed to do it for my child.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also like use a reference point of like therapy is like starting a relationship, because I'm sitting with this person, telling them deep, deep things. Very, very open things. if we don't jive well together in a relationship, communication wise, commitment wise, whatever, it's just not going to work. And so sometimes you do have to try again to be able to get your footing into what ultimately can help you get to the place of where you're like with somebody for a certain amount of time. So for you, like with going to a new person and starting over, what were some of the things that when you finally did get to the new person that you immediately saw impact and results from?
I think the most important thing for me was the therapist being a Christian, or mm-hmm. going to Christian therapy. And one of the first things she said, she was talking to me about how, and I can't remember exactly how she did it, but how we view God, and how a lot of the things that we go through, we can't see them the way that we need to see them, because we can't see God the way that we need to see him. So we have to deal with those things, because all we can see is what's above. The tip of the iceberg that's up, we can't see everything that's below. So in order for us to be able to move forward and see God the way that he wants us to see him, we have to deal with some of our things, because it's really easy for us to project our earthly relationships on our godly relationship. And that spoke volumes to me, because I was like, I know God be showing up for me, and I know that he's a provider, but I don't just want to see him for the things that he can do for me. I want to see him for who he is altogether. So that's what spoke volumes to me. I was like, oh, it's her. We sold. Let's do this thing, girl. Come on.
You are hilarious. But you bring up a good point, because I think, like I say all the time, the way you view God is shaped by the way you grew up. And it's also shaped a lot by, like, our, like you said, relationships with other people, not knowing, like, your view of God could be trash, and you may think it's not trash, because you're like, oh, it's God, so it's, you know, I don't, you know, he's this, he's that, but it's like, do you genuinely believe he's those things?
Yeah.
Because that's the part, it's like, I know he's these things, but do I believe he's these things?
Right.
Like, he's a dad, but do I love him like a dad? You know what I'm saying? Like all that. Okay, so what has been your experience like thus far? It's been a year.
So I've realized in a year, because I used to tell people like I like myself. And I used to say all the time, I really love myself.
I love me. I really, really like me.
And it has gotten a whole lot, like it's so much deeper. Like I am able to establish boundaries. Like I'm able to say, hey, like, no, I can't do that. And I'm okay with that. And I can say, yeah, that's fine. Because one thing we learn in church is like when you say yes to something, you have to say no to something else. So like I'm able to say okay and not like overwork myself or push myself or conform to other people's expectations of me. I realized that ain't my issue. Like that's a you problem. I can't live up to your expectations. Girl. I don't even know what they are.
Girl. So
that's kind of been my journey thus far, digging into some of those things where like I may not have had boundaries and putting those boundaries in place and being able to say, no, I can't do that. Or even in friendships, like my friendships have gotten a whole lot stronger because I can say, hey, that hurt. And I think that's also a big thing for me because you know how we're like, oh, what you gotta say to me didn't hurt my feelings. Like, that's fine. Like, it's nothing. And I'm like, no, that hurt my feelings. Like when you said this, I felt like this. Or when you did this, it made me feel like this. So it's easier for me to communicate. So I feel like I communicate better in my friendships. I'm able to say, okay, yes, I can do this. No, I can't do that. So it's, again, establishing boundaries. And I think I've become a better parent altogether.
Really?
I'm a lot more loving. And Josiah actually said last night, I love cuddles with you. They just make me feel so much better. And I've learned how to speak to him And to be able to meet his needs based on some of the expectations or the things that he's wanting in a parent.
Girl. Okay, go there for a second. Because you know, I'm all into this now. Because, you know, I'm like, you know, my brain. Anytime somebody's talking about being mommy or being my mommy, I'm like, tell me all the teeth, spill all the lifting. I need all of it. Okay, so with the switch of parenting, what were the things you saw that switched early on, or the things that were lacking early on that now are different?
So Josiah is super affectionate.
How old is Josiah now for the people to know?
7 next month. This month. At the end of the month, he'll be 7.
Okay. So you have a 7, you have a whole 7-year-old child. You have a whole 7-year-old. Where did the
time go? No. He was just 7 months. Where did the time go?
Child.
So he's very affectionate, and I didn't know how to be affectionate. Like, I felt like, oh, this is what I want, but I didn't know how to do that. I used to be like, oh yeah, do I have to hug you? Like, is that what we're doing? We gotta hug. Oh, like you gotta touch me.
Is your love language not physical touch at all?
No, it's not.
What is your love language?
Acts of service is. Oh. It's priority. It's like primary.
Really?
And quality time is secondary.
Really? Okay, so mine's is physical touch. That's the first thing. And quality time. No, physical touch and words of affirmation. Literally, Nico could be sitting on the couch, and if he holds my pinky finger, I feel loved. It's the weirdest thing, sis. I'm just like, just touch my arm. And it makes me feel loved. Meanwhile, he's like, why? So, and quality time, I'm like, I ain't really got to spend time with you. I just want you to tell me I look nice and just touch me. And that just makes me feel so loved. But he is quality time. So I have to like push myself to get to that. But it's so interesting when I hear people say like they're not that affectionate, because I'm like, I love being touched. Okay. And it don't have to be sex or intimacy. It just literally can be just touch my hand.
Yeah.
And I'm happy.
And that's Josiah. He will kiss me 50 million times a day. And I'm like, can we scale back on some of these kisses? And I have to keep reminding myself, because other parents of teenagers are like, oh, at some point he's going to stop doing it. So I try to like embrace it and just enjoy it while it's happening. But realistically, I'm like, you ain't got to touch me though. Like, I'm good.
So affection was one of the things I was like, anything else?
The majority of it was just frustration altogether. Like, it was so much going on in my head that I wasn't able to compartmentalize and figure out. So I was just frustrated altogether. Because even last night, I don't even think this answers your question, but I want to say it. Even last night, he called my mom and he was like, Mimi, I just want to thank you for making my mama, because she's the best mama ever. And it just literally warms my heart, because a year and a half ago, I wasn't able to be that person. Like, I used to fuss a lot. I had little patience. My patience is still a little thin, but I have a whole lot more patience in parenting. I'm able to step back and say, hey, you know, I probably shouldn't have said that to him, or I probably shouldn't have done that. Let me go and apologize. Because recognizing that he is still a person, regardless of how old he is, he's still a person, and I can hurt his feelings just like anybody else can hurt mine. So apologizing is one of those things that I'm able to do a whole lot more now, because I can recognize where I end and where he begins.
Oh, that's deep. I was going to say, one, your example, because you know that's not the way we grew up. It's like, you do what I say, you do it because I said it, and because I said it, it's right, and if you have anything else to say about it, it's disrespectful.
Oh, and that backfires though.
Oh, baby. especially when you become grown and you really don't have to. I be sometimes, no shade to my mama because I love it. Mama, if you listen to this, I'm sorry. But like sometimes I really am like, you can provide your opinion all day long. I hear you, but I'm not going to do it. Like, I'm not. And I'm sorry. And I'll tell you I'm not going to do it. And when you get mad at me, I'm going to be like, I'm sorry. I'm just not going to do it. Because I'm not. Okay, girl? So, like.
And that, it's a thin line. Because now, like, I allow him to voice his opinion. I allow him to tell me how he feels. And I validate his feelings. It may not change the situation because you're still going to do it. But I'll listen to you. And I listen to him. And he says, Mama, can you just listen? And I'm like, you know what? Absolutely. I will absolutely listen to you. So I listen to what he has to say. And it backfires sometimes because sometimes he tell me what I said. And I'm like,
oh, child, why did I say
that was a really good point. So it sometimes backfires, but I allow him to have a voice. Even for stuff, you know, our parents were good for calling us from the other room, like, can you give me the remote? And I'll say, Josiah, can you bring me the remote? And he's like, no. And it kind of sucks because I'm like, no, you're going to get in here and bring me this remote. But then I have to remember that I'm teaching him that his no matters. And that's not really something that I need for him to do for his safety. It's just because I don't want to get up.
Listen. That's not the way we grew up. That was just not it. It wasn't. My mama would tell me, go, please hand that to me. And I'm like, it's literally not far from you, girl.
It's right there at the end of your fingers.
Literally right there.
Yeah.
Child. Okay. So, and with that though, especially being a single parent, like that overall, that can bring another layer of having to still be on all the time and be available emotionally, mentally, everything all the time. So it becomes taxing. And so like, how do you think that even just having your outlet, your own outlet, helps you with processing me even being a single parent?
So
you know, you're Tariqa and Nicole new last name, you know what I'm saying?
it gets really taxing. It does get hard, but that's when I also have to realize self-care. Like I have to figure that out. And one of the biggest things that I learned in therapy was that, you know, we sometimes think self-care is doing, like, let me go spend this, let me go buy this, let me go do that. But self-care can be something as simple as cleaning the dishes up, especially when you recognize that seeing dishes in the sink stresses you out. So if it's a stressor, self-care is handling those dishes because it's no longer a stressor for you.
That's really good. So it's
really figuring out what to do to keep me at a place where I am emotionally available for him. And he knows, oh, this your quiet time? Absolutely, get out. He also knows, oh, this is mommy time. Well, can I just have Josiah time since you having mommy time? Absolutely. Go spend time with yourself so I can spend time with me. And that's kind of how we operate and we regroup and we, you know, have those moments for ourselves. And he is a whole lot less frustrated when he gets Josiah time. And I'm a whole lot less frustrated when I get mommy time. And that's just, even if it's something as simple as binge watching a show that I've wanted to watch for a while, or taking a hot shower with some candles and some aromatherapy or something going on. But I have to make sure that I not only take care of my physical self, but I take care of my spiritual and my mental self. And the best way that I can do that is to make sure that I'm actively practicing self-care.
Yes, all those things. All that. All those things. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about our daddy. So, well, before we get to that part, before we get to him, I do want to ask you, what were also some deep-rooted things that you discovered throughout the process and going to counseling?
That I had daddy issues. So this kind of actually goes right on into this next part. Because I really had daddy issues. And I was the person, like, I knew, like, my dad, he passed away 7 years ago. But when he was alive, we didn't have the best relationship, but it took therapy for me to realize that he was the best version of himself for me that he could be. So I had this expectation that I had placed on him that he didn't even know I had placed on him. So how can he even live up to an expectation that I didn't even tell him? So because I couldn't see, because I didn't have the earthly father that I wanted to have, I couldn't recognize Jesus as being my daddy, because my daddy ain't show up for me the way I wanted to. How you gonna show up for me the way I want you to? So that was hard. So I literally had to work through those daddy issues. And because, look, I'm such a jelly bean. Hard outside, soft on the inside.
You are not hard.
Girl, yes I am. And you got thug life. Yes, okay. I am.
Well, let me not put no disrespect on your name, fam. Thug life. My bad.
Not hard at all, though. But because of that, I used to be like, people used to be like, oh, like, you need to work through that. I'm like, I don't need to work through that. Like, he don't want to be here. He ain't got to be here. I'm good. Like, I don't. But then got older, sat in therapy, and boo-hooed, broke down because that lack of relationship, that lack of nurturing that I wanted from my dad, I didn't get. And that affected a whole lot of other things, but definitely my relationship with God, because I couldn't see God as a father, because I couldn't even see my daddy as a father.
Yes. And so how do you think that working through those daddy issues, because I say this so much, like, the way I used to view my own father was literally the mirror of how I view God. In a short way to say, I thought my dad only dealt with me when I got in trouble. So naturally, I always thought God only deals with me when I do something bad. And I must be bad because stuff happens all the time and I feel like I'm a bad person, or I naturally just feel like I'm always rejected. So I just looked at God as a disciplinarian, and not knowing, like, because I looked at him that way, I never could process him loving me fully, because it was never something I received from the first male I ever had interaction with.
Right.
And so with that, so how do you think from processing through therapy changed your relationship with God?
Because I recognize now that God is love, and his core being is love. So I can't ever compare somebody that has flaws, somebody that Jesus died for, I can't ever compare them to God, because Jesus was flawless. Like, he was perfect, whereas we're trying to be like him. So we're imperfect people. So there is no way that I can compare the two. So I have to learn how to separate the two and recognize that as people, we have our own flaws. We have our own things that we're struggling with. We have our own things that we're fighting through. But God is already the answer for that. So I need to look to him when I feel like I'm lacking something. And also recognizing that whatever I feel, Jesus has already felt. So it's okay for me to reach out to him and say, hey, I'm mad at you right now because you allowed this situation to happen to me, and I don't feel like I should have gone through that situation, or I don't feel like I should have had to deal with that situation, or I'm anxious because I'm not ready for this next step that you think I'm ready for, or I'm frustrated because you're giving me all of this stuff and you say I can handle it, but who told you I can handle this? So, like, just really recognizing that everything that I go through here, Jesus has already gone through it. So I have somebody that I can really trust. And although he's not always tangible, he's still a person that's readily available for me, because he's truly God and he's truly man. So he is that person that truly recognizes and understands everything that I go through. So why not just see him and learn more about him and figure out who he is versus trying to compare my earthly relationships to him?
Yeah, and have a lot of resentment towards those relationships. So then it creates this it almost creates this stumbling block between us and God. Yep. You said a couple things that I really, really liked. I like the way you described it, that Christ feels what we feel, because we forget that. But also what it sounds like is more of a friendship with God versus this sometimes feeling like I have to, a worker bee, like a lot of times we think that that's the way it has to be. And that doesn't come off, when I hear the way you described it, it comes off so, I would want to know who this God is. I would want to know about him. And I think that's such a perspective shift, because when you deal with the way you were treated or the way you dealt with things as a kid, and processing and shifting your focus towards back to God and looking at him in that way, it brings just a refreshment to your relationship with him.
And even thinking about, like, listening to you now, I'm reminded of being in church here recently. They were singing the song, and the words to the song was, "What would you do if he walks into the room?" And as I was worshiping to that, I literally was like, I just really hope he sit down so I can lay in his lap, because that's what I want to do. Like, if he walk in this room right now, I want to lay in his lap. Mm-hmm. And I just want to have random conversation. Like, that's what I would do if he walked in this room. And I literally had a visual of that. Just that desire to, like, hang out. Like, I don't want him to fix nothing. I don't want him to do nothing. I don't want him to give me nothing. I just want to lay on his lap and see what that whole experience is like, just laying in his lap.
Girl.
So it's that, and that's how I am now able to see him. That's why it's so easy for me to see him as daddy, because all the things that I wanted from my dad, I already had it in God. I already had it. I just had to embrace what he was already giving me.
Yes.
And open my heart enough to know or to believe that he had already given it to me.
And it's not overcomplicated. We overcomplicate God so much.
Yeah.
So much. It's very simple. And I can even speak for myself. There have been times, especially while I've been pregnant, because, child, I am, one of my core values is self-awareness. And these hormones don't allow me to be self-aware because they're everywhere.
Because they ain't yours right now.
Girl, they're everywhere, okay? I just, like, why? I can't tap in to see what I feel today. And because of that, I've been like, God, what is going on? Am I doing something wrong? And it's just like, people have to tell me, you're pregnant. I'm like, yeah, but that doesn't have anything to do with what I have to get done, okay? But it's like, have several seats. And I know it does. And so it becomes an overcomplication, and it doesn't have to be. It's very simple, very simple. So with that, and kind of with wrapping up, describe how you built this new understanding of God and your relationship with him throughout this process. Like how that shifted.
So I had to really, truly dig into his word. And I had to realize one verse. And sadly, I can't ever remember this verse, but it's in the Bible twice. I can tell you where to find it. I just can't remember the verse. It's in Matthew and it's in Mark. Actually, look at God. It's Mark 1:7.
Okay.
When Jesus first starts his ministry, and he's baptized by John the Baptist, and the heavens open, and God said, "This is my son, whom I love, who I'm well pleased." And I have to constantly remind myself, Jesus hadn't done a thing yet. Miracle hadn't even started his ministry. He had done nothing. But because of who he was, God loved him. He had done nothing, but God was still proud of him, and he claimed him as his own. So that is what I always remind myself of when I'm feeling frustrated, when I'm feeling overwhelmed, when I feel less than, when I feel whatever. God said, "I'm his daughter. He loves me, and he's proud of me. And it ain't a thing I got to do to deserve that. Nothing."
Girl, how beautiful is that?
So it's just
so simple.
Yep, constantly reminding myself of that is literally how I've made it through the process, how I've made it over the hurdles, how I've made it through some of the past hurts and pains, how I've been able to forgive, even when I didn't want to forgive. It's just kind of how I've transitioned through all of that, because I recognize that I'm his child. And if nobody else claims me, if don't nobody else love me, and ain't nobody else proud of me, my daddy said he was.
Period. Period, Pooh. Well, that is beautiful, and that's a great way to end this. So I appreciate you, sis. So why don't you tell the people where they can find you at?
So depending on what you're looking for, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram, Tarikia Nicole. That's TareekiaNicole. That's if you just want to be my friend. But if you want my food, you can find me on both Facebook and Instagram at Don't Make Me Vegan. Don't Make Me Vegan. Come try it.
So, like, I mean, if you want to be my friend, but if you really want my food. Well, I love you, sis, and I love you all so much, and I will talk to you next week.